when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he says to her, "But the hour is coming, and now is here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him." The Father is seeking such people to worship him. He's doing that in prayer, but he's also doing that in worship. And a lot of the songs that we had, the theme was, "I just want you. I just want you. No one else." And in light of that, I have some handouts that are from Phil and Alice, who are on the other side of the pond. I'm not going to disclose where they're at. Most of you may already know, but because we're streaming, we're not going to disclose where they are. But they're ministering to brothers and sisters on the other side of the world who need encouragement at this time. They're going to be doing a men's retreat, and they're doing things with both men and women, but Phil's going to do things with some men, and then Alice is going to do some things with women, with where they're at. And they've asked me to hand this out to you today. And they don't want you to post it anywhere online. But they have specific names and prayer points that they want you to pray for. Between, they arrived yesterday, and they're there to the 15th or 16th. So it's a way to continually, daily pray for them. So, Mr. Beck, would you mind helping me with this? So those of you who want that, to help with that, that would be great. So that's one of the items I wanted to have. In my hand, I have what we call the Easter card. So Mary Lou, if you want to get one of these before you leave. You started to sneak out. Mary Lou, we love you. We bless you as you go to work. But this Easter card here talks about the fact that we're having an Easter service on the 17th. And there are several things that are going on that day. They're not all mentioned on this card, but you may see them in announcements. Easter morning, we are going to have a sunrise service at Fiddler Pond at 6:45 a.m. Okay? And we're going to gather today outside together in the nice cool breeze by the water. And watch the sunrise as we worship. And then immediately afterwards, I believe at 8 a.m., we're going to have a breakfast here. I think it's going to be like for 30 minutes, so you'll have to come early to go to that. And then at 10 a.m., we'll have our regular service. These cards are here so that I'm going to ask again for some volunteers. These cards are not being mailed out to you, but they are given to you today and next week so that you can invite someone who says, "Hey, would you like to come to the sunrise service, or would you like to come to our regular service, you know, in the warmth of this building at 10 a.m.? But we want to give you the opportunity to invite somebody you know so they can come, all right? And the last thing I have is, you'll notice that the sheets that were up there are not up there now regarding the gifts that we did. And so we've transferred all the information to a typed sheet there that has all your names if you've signed up. But there's still some blank lines in case you haven't. And so you have an opportunity to sign your name to saying, "This is what I've discovered my gift to be." This allows the rest of us to know what you're functioning out of, where your strengths are as you go about doing that. So that's the last thing there. And then I'm going to hand it off to Bill and Carol to do what they're going to do. Do you need this mic?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Maybe I'll bring my notes up so that way I'm not freestyling and you guys will be thankful for that if we don't just freestyle. Great. Good morning. We're going to be sharing together with you this morning, and we're excited to be back. Wow. Good to see your lovely faces this morning. How are you?
Fantastic.
Okay. Excellent. We're excellent. We are happy to be back here and getting ready to leave again on Wednesday. And doing the first seminars in Dominican Republic. So we're thanking God for that opportunity. But we're really grateful for this opportunity this morning as we continue to work through the healthy church, and part of healthy church and how this continues to build in your midst as you continue to become a healthier and healthier church. And we thank God for what he's doing here. I want to start, though, by talking about that. Oh, I got that right there. Make sure I'm clicking properly now. That's the next big challenge. Bottom button takes me back. And what takes me forward?
You just turned it off.
Oh, I turned it off. Okay, great. Which way do I go? Up and top or left and right? Okay, thank you. Oh, look at that. Okay. So, we were talking with you about building healthy church and the four facets of the healthy church. And before we go there, we need to focus on the center. The center of our lives, the center of healthy church, and that is the nature of our Christian lives, which is union with Christ. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And how many remember the original Greek for with that's used there in John 1:1? Do you remember? Close. Pros. Pros. Toward. Fixed. Focused. Toward. The Word was toward God, and the Word was God. Jesus toward the Father, Father towards the Son. And us, as it says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me will bear much fruit. Our abiding, our being towards the Father, or towards God, looking at Jesus, inwardly looking at him, listening to him, depending on him, just as Jesus depended on the Father in all things. This is the very nature of our life as Christians. This is where we have our source. This is the secret place. God is with us. God is in us. The Father and the Son has made their home in us by the Holy Spirit. And so we can look inwardly at him. We don't have to go all over the place going, where will I find God? God is with us. And wherever we are, he is there. But we have to be looking at him, listening to him, and obeying him. So as we obey him, as we fellowship with him, we will find life, abundant life. We will find our strength, and we will find our place as well. And that's part of where we're going today. Our place in his gathering, you know, the ecclesia, the gathering of those who have been called out into his kingdom, out of darkness into his glorious light. So, I think so.
We're reviewing a little bit of the healthy church training that we did to get to the next step. And so we saw Christ in the center, what Bill was talking about, and then the circle right around that, every member functions. So we saw that as in the body, we need every member, every organ to be functioning well, to be healthy. The same in the church, every member functions. And then we see that how does every member function? We have four facets, and every member grows in God, every member builds others, every member serves and every member reaches out. So today we're going to focus on the builds others, which is something that we said that is missing in most churches around the world, is that facet, building others. So we're going to look at, in the next training this summer, we'll be looking more in detail at how we build others. And you may be thinking, but I'm not a leader, I'm not an elder, how am I supposed to build others? Well, in the scriptures we see, every member building others. Parents are responsible to build their children. Existing believers responsible to build new disciples. Older women build younger ones. The mature man should teach a young man. Leaders must build leaders. We're always to take every opportunity to build another's life. So we see in Romans and 1 Corinthians. And, you know, so a new believer can bring someone else to the Lord the very same day and start building that person. I always think of in the book of Acts in the new church when 3,000 came to the Lord at once. And who built those 3,000? Could 11 apostles build them? So everybody had to be on board, right? And globally, we are seeing 44,000 new believers come to God every day around the world. And that might not be happening here. It might not be happening at LifeSpring right now, but I believe it will. And we want to be ready. And even now, we have each other to build. I would like to just stop a minute and pray for that. Pray for that harvest here, and also pray for you, each of us, the workers on the harvest. What did Jesus say? He said, the harvest is plentiful. Mm-hmm. What did he say?
The workers are few.
And so what are we to do about that? But before they said, pray for more workers, right? So Father, we do come to you right now and just ask you for that harvest right here in our country, in our city, in this church. Lord, we ask that you would bring them. And Father, I pray for each person here, for these workers here, that you would build them strong and to build each other by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we, when we talk about building others, we reproduce who we are, not what we know, right? We reproduce who we are. So it's important for us to build ourselves at the same time as we're building others. So everything we talk about today, let's think about ourselves also, and building ourselves. So you just went through a series on motivational gifts, and you each looked at what your gift is. And the good news is that regardless of what your gift, your motivational gift is, that it is useful in building other people. We'll keep that in mind as we go.
So as we're thinking about this building, remember, ultimately, God is the builder. He works through us. He works through other people in our lives. But ultimately, he's the one who brings the transformation. That's why Christ has to be the center. That's why we have to have that focus. It's not a self-help, pull-yourself-up program. And it's also not a, I'm just going to depend on the leaders to build me because that's what they're supposed to do, right? We do know that leaders are given to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, that the calling on a leader is to do everything necessary and anything necessary, though, so that we can take a hold of that which Christ has taken a hold of us for, and that we can put all these gifts into practice, let those be useful in his hand. So being aware of that, in building ourselves or building others, many times we get stuck on this one thing. Where do I start? Where do I even start? And so I'll tell you a story. It's a story told of a young man walking in a forest, and he happened to notice in the forest that there were trees, and they all had arrows right in the center of a target, just on these trees. And he wasn't familiar with that area, so when he's looking around, he thought, there must be an incredible marksman in this forest. And just about that time, he also had the second thought. And I don't know this part. Maybe I'm trespassing. Maybe I ought to get out of here. Because that guy's a good shot, whoever it is. Just as they were trying to walk out of the woods, they heard somebody behind them. He looked back, and here was this archer sitting there by the tree. So he wasn't a dummy. He quick humbled himself. Hey, I'm really sorry. You know, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. If this is your place, please forgive me. I'm just going to take my leave. But the guy put him at ease. He said, don't worry. Don't worry. It's good. It's good to have a visitor, you know. So after they had a little chat, then pretty soon the young man asked him, he said, so, you know, this is all your work, isn't it? All these arrows in the trees with the target, right in the center of the targets. And the guy said, yeah. He goes, well, you show me how you do it. So, of course, the archer was really happy to do that. You see, here the forest, you've got targets everywhere there where he has arrows. So he took the arrow, put it in the bow, closed his eyes, kind of turned around a little bit, and then let the arrow go. The arrow landed right in a tree. And then the archer ran as quick as he could with a bucket and brush. And said, you see, I never miss. Tell me about that guy. How skillful was he? Well, he could shoot an arrow and hit a tree better than I can. But that's not really where we start, right? We start with a target. We start with a goal. So, this is, what's that?
If we don't have a goal, how will we reach it?
Right. Because, yeah, otherwise, if we don't know what we're aiming for, well, we'll settle for anything. And this is the way many of our attempts at growing can be, many attempts at development of leaders and of people, discipleship. You know, we'll just give them a little scripture here and a little. Oh, that's okay. I'll read them to you. Sorry about that. So I'm going to decipher this cryptic slides here for you. What we need is a goal. We start with a goal. And in this case, this is one of the things we're going to be looking at today. And once we have a goal, we need a process. I'm going to go to the next slide because that'll help to define it. And then we need a design. Think of it this way. I don't know about you, but I like to eat. So this is a good illustration for me. I don't know, anybody else like to eat here? I see some hands. Okay. So think of it this way. We got to start by thinking about what meal do we want to have. That's where we start, right? We don't start with just grabbing some ingredients and throwing them in a pan to see what happened. We think about what are we going to cook. Then we have to think through what are the ingredients? What are we going to need to have what we want to eat? And then once we thought that through and we get our ingredients around, we have to have a recipe. We have to have an intentional way to put those ingredients together in a process that we will have what we want to eat. So that is the simple, actually, three parts of building. Start with a goal, determine what you need for the process, and then have an intentional plan to put that process into action. And if we don't take the time to be intentional, we won't eat. we won't eat. Okay.
Don't take the time to figure out what our goal is, we won't reach it.
Right. Yeah. So let's think about that.
So we're going to start this process by, there should be some sticky notes in the seat above, in front of you, the three sticky notes. So we want you to grab those, and we have some pens here for anyone who needs a pen. And we want you to think of a person, an exemplary Christian, who you really admire, who...
It's impacted your life somehow.
Yeah, it's impacted your life. Think about what ways have they been exemplary to you?
Sorry.
Why did they succeed? So, for example, the lady I'm thinking about, she was, she really heard God. And it was evident because when she spoke, she was right on. You knew God had to reveal that to her. So that's one thing. So I'd put that on one sticky note.
What would you write there?
I would say...
She heard God. She heard from God.
On my sticky note.
I'm going to do your sticky notes for you while you name it.
And she was also very hospitable, always inviting people to their homes, and even living with them, you know, if they needed that. So she was very hospitable, and she persevered, you know, even though people were might be critical of She didn't give up in what God had called her to do. She persevered in that. And so that's three. So
that was two.
That was three. Hospitable, heard God, and
persevering.
Persevering.
And she was also really, she knew the God. She knew the scriptures really well.
Right.
She could.
She was a resource person. You could go to her with any question.
Mm-hmm.
So we could put on there, knew the scriptures.
And how to apply them.
And so you do your own.
So think of somebody. Get someone in your mind that fits that. That was an exemplary leader or person in your life. And three. Don't put their name down. Just. Three characteristics. What was it? What was it that makes you say that about them, makes you think that about them?
And then,
I forgot to put your persevering in there.
As you finish, then we will
We'll have you get up here in a minute as you finish, right? And then... I'm going to bring that over here. Yeah, that's what I was going to
do. We'll have you stick them on the board. So those who are done already can go ahead and bring them up.
And,
No name.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So you should have three different attributes of that person that you're thinking of.
Okay. As the rest of you are thinking, each thing on a different sticker.
Each thing on a different sticker.
So we should all have three stickers.
Yeah.
Just spread it out. I'll give you another one. Who else had one? All on three.
Yeah.
A blue one? Oh, wow. See, you're all so frugal. You're like me. I'm not going to waste two other post-it notes for something I can get on one. But for this purpose, somebody had here, had true and passion for Christ, compassionate leader, who's...
We can just go ahead and do it for the. I'll do it.
Okay, we'll spread them out.
So while you're bringing them up, go ahead as you're finishing up. But just notice how many sticky notes there are here. So if we were going to try to build someone strong in all these characteristics, it would be a little bit overwhelming, right? a little, that's a lot. How are we going to do this?
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to look at scriptures now and see how we can organize this or make it easier, an easier goal for us to reach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll just go ahead and collect the rest of them as Bill is. Go ahead, David. Yeah. As Bill is looking at the scriptures.
Now, when we look at these different characteristics, we could say, well, this is the goal. This is definitely, you know, these are all good, great characteristics. Let me read a few of them to you just so you can hear them. Always encouraging, listens to God, desires to grow. Every day, live for God no matter circumstances. She heard from God. Willing to be honest with himself and others.
Wow.
Walk the Christian life. Love of God, continually growing. A prayer life. In face of hard times, they didn't give up. Passionate about Christ. Heard God and followed his direction. See, these are all incredibly positive and good characteristics that we'd like to see in our own lives, we'd like to see in the lives of leaders. And as Carol was pointing out, if we were going to just make a laundry list of things to build, that might be a little overwhelming. Well, how can I be all those things? And, you know, they say about an elephant that the best way to eat an elephant is how?
One bite at a time.
One bite at a time. I've never tried it. I've never had elephant. I've had some other exotic dishes. I'm not sure I ever want to try an elephant. But development can be, and building ourselves can sometimes be like that elephant. Just too big of a task if we try to chew it all at once. And also, our goals shouldn't just simply be what makes us feel good. It should have some scriptural basis, right? I mean, because the scriptures are the sure and true foundation from which we can work. So we're going to look at a five-element goal, and the first two elements of our goal we can find in the Great Commandments. This is where they came to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment? Of course, our Lord, in his wisdom and knowledge, didn't give them one answer. He gave them two. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So these two establish Christ first. It's the greatest and most important. Christ, the center. And we also reflect Christ here on the outside, because Christ is in all, but he's also above all. And so we can recognize that Christ is in us, working in our lives, working in our hearts, and he's the one we focus on. But we also live in a world, right, that God is at work. God is at work. And so as Romans 8:28 says, for example, he's working all things together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. The Lord is busy holding all things together. So Christ is both in our outer circle and our inner circle. And then, I really apologize. I tried to get these colors better for everyone, and it did not work. And the second is the second commandment, community. Love others. We love God first. We love others. And so that's speaking of our community. We can't love others without being with others. We can't grow from others without, we can't benefit, I should say, from what Christ has put in others unless we're walking with others in community. Now, in this context of Christ and community, we find three characteristics or capacities of an effective leader. And we can find this now by going to David, looking at David's life, King David. Remember, Jesus is our model, but this passage about David expounds very well on these capacities. So it says, he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with the integrity of heart, and skillful hands he led them. Now, as you look at that, can you see three, can we pull out three capacities, three characteristics of David? Integrity of heart. Mm-hmm. Good. Skillful hands. And there's one more, and it's a little bit hidden in there at the beginning.
David was God's servant.
He was God's servant. So David didn't put in a resume to become king, right? He didn't say, you know, here's my CV. I'd like to apply for the job of king. David was called by God. He was chosen. Exactly. He was chosen. And so we have his character. That's what it says at the top. It says character, followed by calling, and he had skillful hands. It was competence. David showed competence. These are the five elements of the goal. These are the target. And we will go much deeper into this when we come together later here for a seminar later in the summer or whenever we do schedule that. But these are the five elements of the goal. The idea that we are in the context of Christ in community, we are growing in our character. And guess what kind of character we need to grow to become? The character of who? Yes, the character of Christ. He's our plumb line. We grow in the clarity of our calling. What has God called us to do? David was called to become king, but what has Christ called you to do? What has Christ called you to become? Where has he asked you to put your hands to? And then competency is the ability, as David had, to carry out that calling, to build and lead the people of Israel. And you can think of this as these three as kind of like a three-legged stool. And again, we won't go deep into this today, but simply all three of these capacities of character, calling, and competency have to be constantly grown. Otherwise, it becomes like a three-legged stool where one leg is shorter than the other. And so, in order to be strong in the Lord and fulfill that calling, we need to grow in all of these areas. And Carol, I'm ready for you up here, if you're ready.
So it's really fun to find these.
Where'd your microphone go?
Scriptures.
There we go.
And as you read this week, look for these five C's. But in this prayer here that Paul prays for the Philippians, we can find several of them. And it's one thing we prayed this morning, pre-service prayer, you know, for love. So he's praying that the Philippians will grow in several of these C's, that your love. So love, if he's talking about love for each other, for community, that's community. If he's talking about love for God, it's Christ. May abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. If he's talking about knowledge, like knowing how to love, knowing, you know, the scriptures, having knowing the five love languages, you know, that kind of thing, it's a competency. If he's talking about like a word of knowledge, that then it's Christ. So that you may be able to discern what is best, may be pure. What's pure? Which of these five C's? Character, and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness. How are we righteous? Who makes us righteous? Christ. So that they would grow in Christ, that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So We are seeing here that now we're categorizing all five of the all the sticky notes into the five C's. And what do you notice as you look over there at the chart? They're pretty evenly distributed. What else? You're noticing more on Christ, which is interesting. It depends on what group does this, you know, how many people, and yeah. But it is very interesting that in this group here that Christ had more sticky notes. What else?
That's
there's
the most important thing right there. Yep.
On every section.
All of these impact our lives. All of these different characteristics have an impact on our lives. We find that they, let me come over for the sake of the, actually, shall I bring that over there? Okay, here we go. I'm sure it doesn't weigh that much, especially when I have Russell here. Here we go. So, for the sake of these, the home audience, for those of you playing at home today, I mean praying at home today with us, we have a view for you. You can see how it's spread out over the whole five elements of the goal. Now, what this does, it gives us an easier way to think about the things we need to build in our and have God build in our lives and help develop in other people's lives. And so that's good. If we just stop there, though, then we leave you without something very important. The good news is all of these can be built in our lives, and the process by which we build them in our lives is not that complicated, using four dynamics. And we're not going today be able to go into what those four dynamics are, but we're simply going to give you an exercise that you can do at home. And it's called Growing Deeper, and we're going to just focus here today on each of us growing deeper in Christ, because that's what we've been talking about here over several times, is how Christ needs to be central in our lives. So what can we practically do? What would God have us practically do to grow deeper in Christ? There are, on this paper that you're getting, there are some suggested activities. And these suggestive activities aren't the only thing you can possibly do, but they should give you a feeling for a holistic approach to a holistic goal. Just as I said, all five of these parts of the goal have to be built in our lives. The process needs to match that and be a holistic process. And my understanding from Fernando is that we would love to hear your testimonies every week, right? That somebody would have a testimony every week about how you're growing, how you're finding God's transformation, putting this into practice. See, as we put things into practice, God meets us. God meets us. It's that stepping out onto the waves in which we get to see Jesus at work in our lives. So, just for example, so you see there, we want it to be an intentional, because that's, in the end, design, another word you could use for that is intentional. Intentionally putting a process into effect in order to reach a goal. You don't just happen to walk in the kitchen and cook something, right? You intend when you go in the kitchen. Now, I don't always intend to eat something when I go in the kitchen. I still do that. But cooking, you intend to make something. Growing in Christ, we want to intend to grow in Christ. It becomes intentional. It becomes something we are giving ourselves to. And in each of the dynamics, there are several options to choose from so that you can make a simple design. Pick at least one from each of the four, and you can pick more if you want. Now, let me just call your attention to the fact that in the third dynamic, there are some, oh no, fourth, I'm sorry, here, number four. Read a book like Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, or Secrets of the Secret Place by Bob Sorg, or To Enjoy Him Forever by Malcolm Weber, who's the founder and executive director of LeaderSource, the ministry that we serve with. There are some samples of those books over there. There are about 10 or 12 total of the To Enjoy Him Forever. If you're interested, you can grab one for a dollar, just as a... that is here available for you. And of course, you can find these books. These are classics, the Practicing the Presence of God. Oh yeah, here's Secret Place. We sang about the Secret Place today. That's a really powerful book right there. Carol's holding up some other ideas. Yeah, Oswald Chambers is really strong. And you may have other books that you've encountered where the focus is on growth in Christ. And I'd encourage you, if you have one like that, you know, share that information with Fernando so that that can be further shared with others. So, quick recap. Who is the focus of our life? Who's the source of our life? We're going to look at him. We're going to listen to him. We're going to be changed by him. We want to intentionally grow. And to intentionally grow, we need to start with a goal. Where are we going? What are we wanting to become like? And in this holistic goal we've presented it to you today, which we can find the elements in the two scriptures we shared with you, it's a five-element goal. It's a holistic goal. And your assignment is to go before God, find one of each of these four, from these four dynamics, to practice, to put into effect in your life, and watch what God does. Watch what the Holy Spirit does in you, because he will do more than you can ask or imagine. And this is how we become healthier. And the church is made up of all of us. So as we become healthier, guess what? The church becomes healthier. And people will see the light of the gospel in your lives, the light that Carol Bell was praying about earlier today during worship, and that we heard others speak about today. So thank you very much, and we're looking forward to hearing what happens in your lives. So there you go. Thank you. And I think you want that microphone.
We want to thank you for coming today, and let's just lift up the Lord in his name. Father, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be honored. We thank you for your Son who gave of himself, not only on the cross, but every single day he walked in obedience to you. He got up every morning and he went to a solitary place to be alone, to hear your voice, so that your voice would be stronger than any other voice that would want to demand his attention. Father, teach us to be people who set themselves apart and listen for your voice. I bless you, Lord, and I bless the people today, because you said, let him who has ears, let him hear. And I know, God, that every person here has at least two ears, so they're going to hear you. And they're going to hear you not only in their ears, but in their hearts. Lord, you've given them the ability to hear your voice because they are your sheep and you are a shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, if you didn't see it already in the announcements, and the refresher, there is a game night coming up next Friday here in the living room. And we had a great attendance last time, but we'd love to see some new faces and new games as we come and gather together. It's really a lot of fun, and we do have a tendency to have a lot of laughter.